Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right on into the Word, all right? Father, I just thank you for who you are, that you're the living God, the true God. There is no other God but you. But you're more than God to me. You're my Father. You're Abba Daddy, creator of heaven and earth. You watch over me like a hen watches over her chick. You care about me. Now, Father, you told me you'd touch my tongue, you'd put your words upon my lips, you'd speak to your people through me. It's not I, but it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage. And I thank you now, sir, that you're planting seeds of faith into the heart that will spring up and bear fruit to everlasting life. Jesus, you said as the Father sent you, so you send me in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I know as I step out, you'll be there to fulfill the call of God on my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And what God started dealing with me about sharing with y'all is His own healing. But it's the big thing is the Word.
See,
you can walk in divine health.
Hallelujah.
See, a lot of people, they don't understand that because they've never... never seen it or never been told or something like that. But there's such a place that you can get to where you walk in divine health. But the more word that you walk in healing, the more you'll see miracles operate through you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Lord one day, I asked him, I said, Lord, I'd had, way back there, I'd had to have a stent put in my heart, you know, for blood to flow. And I asked him, I said, Lord, I said, what do I need to do? You know, and I'm thinking exercise wise. Do I need to walk more? You know what I'm saying? Physical thing. And he come up in me, and the only thing that God said, he said, continue to speak the word. Continue to speak the word. When you're having problems come at you, continue to speak the word. Continue to speak the word. Continue to speak the word.
Amen.
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 You know, we get into this saying, well, if you believe in your heart and you say it out your mouth, and which, you know, you need to speak the word. You need to meditate on the word to get it in there. When something comes, that's what will come out of you. You understand it? But the big thing is don't be quick to answer things. Stop and get a hold of what God says. Because the enemy will try to get you to say what he wants you to say.
That's right.
But if you'll stop and get a hold of what God says, then you'll walk on into it. For instance, is anybody here, I know one lady told me she lost her child. Has anybody here ever lost a child? You have. Now I'm going to tell you something that will help you from this day forward. Okay? That's not of God. Okay? And you can do something about it. My, and I'm getting, you know, I want you to understand this. Now you know so you can walk. I have always said no devil will take me out. Any sickness, disease, car wrecks, fires, anything short of me giving up the ghost and going home to be with the Lord is of the curse in this world. Okay, it's of the curse. Just get a hold of that. And I've always said that no devil will take me out. I could get involved how I've had car wrecks and God told me that's the reason I was alive, different things like that. But I've also said the Lord one day started dealing with me about Psalms 91. About long life will I satisfy you. Okay? And he said, what would satisfy you? Well, the first thing that comes to you is, you know, 120 years. People talk that. But that wasn't what he was dealing with me about. See, I could live 120 years and be sick the last 60. That's not worth a dime. You know what I mean? Or be broke where you couldn't even feed your family or, you know, have to eat mice and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's not really a satisfied life. So he wasn't necessarily dealing with me about length. He started dealing with me. He said, what would satisfy you? And I said, well, Lord, one thing that would satisfy me is to, you know, live in health. He said, and I said to be prosperous, to be able to, you know, take care of my family and put the gospel out, stuff like this. He said, and I said, well, you know, I'd have got some different things, but it got down to one thing there, and he finally he said, and it don't, and I thought about it, that I'd never bury one of my children or grandchildren or great grandchildren. See, if you'll do it for me, God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. And so I started speaking that out. See, I had a daughter that was down 100 feet. Her tank went off. Something happened to her tank. Her husband rushed her to the top. She lived. Her husband died. You know, he wasn't my child. I had a son that died. He was dead for so many minutes, and, you know, through the power of God, he was raised from the dead. I had my grandson. He's going to be a born-again, spirit-filled, praising the Lord. You know what I mean? He's coming. Amen. He won't go to hell. You know? How do you know? I just know. I know. Amen. Anyhow, he likes to smoke stuff and do stuff, you know, and he wrecked his truck, totaled it out. And my daughter was shook up about it. And I told her, I said, don't worry about him. I said, I'll never bury one of my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. I've got great-grandchildren. Amen? I won't do it, see? And so about 2 weeks later, he's driving down I-40 out in Arkansas and went across the median and hit a tractor trailer head on. And he had old Cadillac head around there and blew that thing all to pieces. They air vac'd him to Little Rock on life support, you know, they told my daughter, said, you know, you come prepared for a funeral. He's just not going to live. But when she got off the phone, she said, Daddy, Jesus said to me, didn't your daddy say he wouldn't bury one of his children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren? She said, I knew right then my son was going to live. Amen? Now, he's not a respecter of persons, but I say that a lot. I'll never bury one of them. You understand? Anyhow, he lived. Make a long story short, he's at home. You know, back doing drugs. But he's going to be all right. He's going to get his life right. Amen. I'm not moved. I'm not. But the reason I tell people that is no matter how bad someone is, God moves by faith. Amen. So put your faith out there for them. I don't care who they are, what they've done, or anything like that. God moves on faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! And he will do his word.
Yes, he will.
He will fulfill his curse if you'll stand on it.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
I don't know why he didn't do it for you. You quit. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
You got it. And that's not you have to speak it ever. Get it in your heart. But I never did. You know what? I waited 3 or 4 days and I was headed for the East Coast. Went by and stayed there for about 2 or 3 hours and went on. You know? There wasn't no reason for me to stay there at the hospital. You know what?
Right.
Of course, everybody in the family tells you you don't care.
Yeah.
I've already got the great physician on the job. What do you mean? Yeah. You know, that cost for the great physician is my life. Amen. I gave him my life. You know what I'm saying. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. We have a God that can take care of anything. Amen. There is nothing impossible for our God. But we have to believe it. We have to believe it. I'm a born-again Christian because my mother believed that if she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that her and her household would be saved. Amen? Amen. 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 That's a fact. That's it. That's it. Somebody asked me, they knew I was dealing drugs and everything else. Somebody asked that about my mama. She said, don't worry about it, Rod. I got a promise from God. Woo! Hallelujah! That's enough to make you, people sit around and worried about their kid. Don't worry about them. Just stand on the word. Hallelujah. Don't worry about your mothers and your fathers. Stand on the word. Woo! My daddy, 2 months, he was 90 years old. Before he died, he met Jesus. I told Jesus, I said, I won't let him die. I don't care if you have to keep him alive 1,000 years till he gets saved. And he got saved. You know what God did about that? He didn't say, boy, don't get smart with me. He said, woo, I like that. Yeah, he believes me. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to believe him. Simple. It's the simplest thing in the world. Just believe him. And keep putting that word in there. Keep putting that word. Amen? Just keep putting that word. No devil will take me out. Sickness and disease won't kill me. Why? Because that's of the devil, and I ain't getting none of that stuff. Amen? No more bondage. Amen? We sang all these songs, and then we fall. You know, you got to realize what's going on. Amen? Ain't no devil going to. Here a while back, I asked him, I said, what do you want me to do today? And he said, walk in the divine hell. Yeah. He said, the next thing he said, speak the word boldly, with courage, fearlessly, daring, brave, believing I'll do what I say I'll do. Amen. Amen. You have to get in people's face. You have to get in people's face. Amen. It's a done deal with God. Amen. You speak it, it's a done deal if you don't get off of it. That's a good deal, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
He says in Amos 3:3, he says, how can two walk together unless they agree? How are you going to get healed walking with God if you don't agree with him?
Yeah, that's right.
You got to agree with him. You understand that? It's simple.
That's right.
It's simple.
That's good.
And you know, when they call me, my son called me about my grandson. He said, Daddy, I called to tell you that Brady had a wreck today, blew his car up, and they barebacked him down to Little Rock. They don't expect him to live. Well, the first thing that come to me, first thing that will come on you is fear. You know what I'm saying? It'll come at you, but you better have something inside. And I said, wait just a second. And I sat there for a moment and got, I said, my grandson will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And my son said, amen, I'm in agreement with you. See, well, that was his uncle. That was the boy's uncle. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I know that my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are protected. I know my wife is protected. Amen? I know my home is protected. I know my cars are protected. My property is protected. Why? Because I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a joint heir with him to the throne. Amen? I've got angels I station around me. Amen? No harm. We live right in a fairly bad area. We never have nothing stole. Never have a nary a thing stole. Amen? Hallelujah. But anyhow, I said all that to say this. God tells us to put him in remembrance of what he said. And there's certain things that people don't really know. I was down in Hanover a few years ago with Chip. You remember when Chip had the church? Anyhow, I was down there, and this after the service over, there was a little blind woman sitting there. And she never came up or anything like this, but I knew inside of me she wasn't sure it was God's will to heal her. So anyhow, after people kind of clear, I sit down there beside her, and I got talking to her, And I said, you're not really sure it's God's will to heal you, are you? And finally she said, no. I said, are you in sin? And she looked at me kind of funny. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You go home, and she had tapes or one of them Bibles that you, but she had a thing there she could read or what. And listen to the Word, the New Testament, and write down every place that Jesus refused to heal anyone, and write down the reason he refused to heal them, and then bring it back tomorrow night, and we'll get you forgiven in that area, and he'll heal you. See, this is for righteous people. You know, now, the heathen out here that doesn't know it, God will do it. But I'm going to tell you something. A Christian needs to be walking with God. Amen? And you are walking with God. Say, I'm walking with God.
I'm walking with God.
Amen. You're not in sin. The devil will come. But anyhow, you know, and she sat there for a few minutes, and I got up and I left. And I came back in a few minutes. She had a big old grin on her face, and I looked at her, and I said, what are you grinning about? She said, that's not in the Bible, is it? I said, what? Where Jesus ever refused to heal anybody. I said, are you sure? She said, yeah, and talked about her mother. Her mother got healed and some stuff like that. And she said, lay hands on me. I'll be healed. I laid hands on her, and on the way home that night, she got to... Oh, Chip, you know, he didn't have much more hair than I do. You could see, she could count the hairs on his head.
Both of them.
I asked my wife one time, you know, I had some hair. I used to let it grow out, had it on the side here and everything. And I was kind of looking at my hair and I said, honey, I don't really consider myself bald, do you? And she looked at me and she said, how many more hair would you have to lose? One hair. How many more hair would you have? Yeah, and I used to take one, and you ever seen a rope rug? I had one hair, and I right there in the end, it'd be sticking up like that. You know? I mean, I'd go swimming and come out of the pool and walk 50 feet, and that hair would finally get out of the water, you know. If I jumped down in the water, it was just matted all over the pool, you know. So one day I asked her, I said, do you mind if I cut this off? And she said, happy days are here again. That woman. She's a pistol, that woman. She's as bad as your wife, you know.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I'm telling you. At times. But anyhow, what I want to get to you gotta know that God's will is to heal every time. Every time. But let me share something with you. Look with me right quick to John, the fourth chapter. John 4, and we start reading in the 46th verse. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. and he himself believed in his whole household. This, again, is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judah of into Galilee. This is the first healing of Jesus. This is the very first one that he did. Now, the first sign he did was turn the water into wine. But this was the first sign. And you notice here that the nobleman took him at his word and just left. Just left. Now this guy wasn't even born again. He didn't have all the word that we knew. And Jesus had only turned water into wine. So, you know, this guy didn't know much about Jesus at all. They didn't know him as the Son of God. But he came to him, and when he told him that his son lived, he took him at his word and left. And one translation says, at that point, the child began to amend. It wasn't an instant healing. It wouldn't have made any difference. It took him a couple of days to get home. But it wasn't an instant healing. Now see, we think that every miracle is instant. Okay? And they call this the first miracle that Jesus did, or the second, you know, sign. Miracle. This was a miracle. Just like my grandson, it took him 6 weeks to get out of that bed and up and going, but that was a miracle. You hear me? Yeah. You understand that? That's a miracle. It's one of the biggest miracle we can see in the Bible is the new birth. Take a bum. You know, that's like Jesus one day. I had been born again about 14 years and I was preaching, I was ministering and what have you. And the pastor was saying real nice things about me, you know, and I wasn't paying attention. I was getting ready. You know, I mean, he should say nice things about me. He's about ready to let me up in his pulpit. You know what I mean? Well, this is a bum, a dog, a dude. You know, but he was saying nice things about me. You know, and I wasn't paying any attention because I was getting ready. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord said, "Listen to him." And he was saying real nice things to me. And Jesus said this to me. He said, "Look what I've done with a bum in 14 years." Yeah, he'd take a bum and turn us around.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Well, if he can turn a bum around and make him somebody to get up in a pulpit that people would let you get up there and preach to them, praise God, what can he do with sickness and disease?
Amen. That's right.
You understand that?
Hallelujah.
See, you're to walk in divine health. I'm not saying you're not going to have things come at you, but the more you put that word in and the less you say you'll receive, the more health you'll walk in.
That's right.
You understand that? Amen. You got to start speaking the word. Amen. But are we sure it's God's will to heal all because, and I'm sure of it, because of God's original creation? Turn with me right quick to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis 1:26, it said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now verse 31. "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God created man in his own image. His same class. So you're in the same class with God. Just like a house cat's in the same class with a lion. They have the same characteristics, the whole deal. One might be bigger than the other, but it's the same class. That's what you are. You are in the same class with God. You've been born of God, of the Spirit of God. God is a Spirit, and when He said that you've been born again, you've been born of the Spirit. You are a partaker of His divine nature. Amen? That divine nature, if it's fed, the Word of God will keep you healed. That alone will keep you healed. Feeding the Word of God in, taking the Word of God. It's just like, you know, healing. You know, anything, physical healing, you eat certain things, or you know, whatever. But this, you take the Word of God in, and it will heal your body. God is perfect, therefore He created man perfect. Man was created perfect. Amen? God didn't create sickness or disease. You agree with that? All sickness and disease come from the fall. All right? Praise God. All sickness and disease came from the fall. You know, an old person now is maybe 100. They get some overseas at, what, 125 or 30? Do they? You know, yeah, over 100. And most of them are old and decrepitated and what have you. Well, you know, they used to live 800-900 years. Amen. They used to live 800-900. You think our tongues have got messed up? You know, they started talking to me, said, when you hit 40, you'll need glasses. And idiot me, I didn't rebuke it. And you know, when I hit 40, I needed glasses. Amen. All Adam and Eve knew was perfection. Amen. Do you know when you got born again, your healing was paid for at the same time? How many of y'all know people that were sick when they got born again, and as soon as they got born again, they were still sick? You know people like that? Well, sure you did. Sure. You know why? Because that's all we teach them, is being born again. I had a guy, I was talking to some people up in Wisconsin one night in a ministry, and I said, at the same time that you get born again, your healing comes. This guy sitting out there had a deal on him, he had his mouth all, he had a broke jaw, that's what it was. And he raised his hand. And I asked him what the deal was, and he, as best he could say to it, he said, you mean if I got born again tonight, God would heal this? I said, yeah, it comes with salvation. You remember Jesus told the guy on the mat, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And all the Pharisees, the religious people, got all upset. Who is this forgiving sins? Only God can forgive sin. And he said, what's the difference? Son, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk. There's no difference. What's happened, though, is the church has flip-flopped. They were worried about sins back in, and now the church is worried about people getting healed. You need healing in your body, but you need to walk in it. You need to refuse things. You understand that? You understand that? How many of y'all believe that you've been set free from sin? All right, how do you keep from sinning? How do you keep from sinning? I know you're saying the word, but how do you keep from sinning? You just refuse to do it. Huh? Is that right? If you recognize it, you refuse to do it. Well, let's go get drunk this afternoon. Well, I can recognize that's bad for me. I'd refuse it. You see what I'm saying? You understand it? Well, that's what we need to start looking at, sickness and disease. Just refuse to accept it. I had a friend of mine call me one time, and I'm probably not going to get too far now. But I had a friend of mine call me one time. I'm out on 81. Oh, 81. We're in Pennsylvania. 81, I'm down in Virginia. And I'm riding north. I'm probably coming up here, passing, somebody's up in there. And I'm driving north. And this friend of mine called me from down in North Carolina. And he used to go to a Good Word church. And he left and he started going to another church. You know, just... maybe so, happy so, you know. You know what I mean? And he called me, and he said, Rod, They diagnosed me with MS. See, that's what amazes me. What is he doing off down here at these dog churches? And then he has to call somebody that believes in healing to get his healing. Well, no, he can't get it from that church, you know? And I'm sorry I said that. There are my brothers. I don't even know who they were, so it doesn't make any difference, you know. But anyhow, he said they diagnosed me with MS. And I said, you know, it's strictly up to you whether you receive that or not. And he got mad. And he hung up. So I went on, rode on up the road there about another 30 minutes, and I called him back. I said, did you receive what I told you a while ago? He said, Rod, what about the symptoms? I said, the symptoms don't have anything to do with nothing. You know that they don't have nothing. When they start telling you your symptoms, you know, it's like a tree. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Symptoms doesn't mean anything. You cut a tree down and it falls. Are them leaves still green? But they're dead. All purposes, they're dead. They might, you know, probably, what, a few hours later, they might start crinkling up. But it'd take them, what, a week before they got and fell off. But it still looked like they're alive, but they're dead. Same. You might have, for instance, you might have had something sickness in you that caused pain or did something in your back there a little bit that made it too stiff to where, you know what I'm saying? But once you cut off that problem, boom, then you start working on, you know what I'm saying, kind of getting that thing. It'll start coming on out. You understand that? But people go by symptoms. You can't go by symptoms. You can't. I mean, when I curse something, it's dead. I had a woman down in San Antonio. She had, I don't even know the name of it now. It was an incurable disease. But what happened is her body started drying out inside. There's only like 7 or 8 in the world at 12 cases of it in the world. Scleroderma or something like that. But her body was dry. And I knew her. She came to the services. She was 35 years old. She was gray. She was dying. She come in walking like this. Got her in there. And I dealt with Psalms 23. And I started dealing with her about her father's table. I said, on your father's table, there's healing. You know? And when I gave the altar call to come up, she said, she just barely got up there, and she gave this testimony later. She said, I came to my father's table to get my healing. I laid hands on her. Maybe Cheryl, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't make it. Me and my wife either laid it. But anyhow, nothing. And we walked away and we're praying for other people, and all of a sudden she started hollering. Woo! 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 You know? And what happened, she turned around and gave testimony. Well, you know, she's still stiff and everything. She's still gray. And what happens, the pain left her. Just like that. And she knew she was healed. Excruciating pain. It left her just like that. She knew she was healed. She went home that night. Of course, you know, she's still barely walking. You know, the whole thing. And she told her son, she said, I got healed tonight. He said, you did, Mama. She said, yeah. Come here and pull back the cover on the bed there. And pulled it back. And her toe, she could move it. We were there for a week. Before we left, she was cleaning clothes, washing dishes, the whole works. But some of the elders of a church said that can't be. And they talked that woman back into getting sick and dying. Yeah. Isn't that sad? That's sad, isn't it? That's sad, isn't it? My son and his wife prayed for a guy that had his wife, you know, she had a dwarf. Gonna have a dwarf. 3 weeks. I'm telling you about the power of God. It's what I want you to get a hold of. I'll tell you something else. If you find anywhere that God ever healed anybody or done anything besides, you know, cause fivefold ministry, that's a different story. But done anything for anybody, you can tell him, you're not a respecter of persons. You'll do it for me. Huh? You'll do it for me. You got to stand on the same way. You know what I'm saying? It's mine. Little baby. They've seen this friend of theirs and they asked him, said, we hear your wife's going to have a baby. They hadn't seen him in a long time. Said, has she had it yet? He said, no. He said, it's a special baby. Well, every baby's special. But you know what they mean by that, you know. So he said, special? What do you mean special? And he said, it's a dwarf. And it was so rare. Now, this is in Little Rock, Arkansas, that doctors were flying out of John Hopkins, that's over here in Jersey or someplace, into Little Rock to, you know, see it, you know, on x-ray or whatever they do, you know what I'm saying, looking at the baby and everything. It was one of, you know, very few has ever been born like that, and they did whatever it took, they researched to see it. So my daughter-in-law looked at him and said, you need a second opinion. He said, second opinion? What are you talking about? I got them coming in from John Hopkins and everything. What do you mean, second opinion? And she said, you need the opinion of Jesus Christ about this thing. Well, he didn't really like it a whole lot. So. Before he left, they said, can we pray for the baby? And he said, well, yeah. And they just prayed that God would grow that baby and it would come out normal. Now, it had 3 weeks. It came out in 3 weeks. It grew three times in that 3 weeks and come out normal. Now that's the God you serve. You don't think he can't heal a headache? Huh? You know, you can't explain these things. That's like my son broke his arm. Little kid, young kid. And he got his arm all wrapped up and I was going to pray for him. He was up at a place with a church and came back, and I was going to pray for him when he got back. And the Lord said, no, don't pray for him. Ask that boy over there to pray for him. So there's a guy standing there. I said, sir, I said, come here. I don't even know if the guy's saved or not. Doesn't make any difference. God said it. It's going to work. You know what? I said, come here. I said, I want you to pray for my son's arm to be healed. And he looked at me, you know, kind of big old eye. And he put hands on him and said, I don't know what he said. You know, doesn't make any difference. He could have said boo and it'd been healed. Doesn't make, you know? The boy just got born again about 3 or 4 days before this. Yeah, I didn't know it, you know. Come to, and my son's arm was healed instantly. Instantly. How does that work? What did some angel get in there and go, got a torch? Huh? I don't know how it works. It's not up to me to know how, just up to me to know it will.
Amen.
You understand that? See, we try to come up with all, well, how does this work? It doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference how it works. Woman called me one night. She had a bad heart. Heart wasn't no good. She'd been at the doctor's office. They were going to put her in intensive care. If she didn't get a heart, she was going to die. So she told them, she said, I've got to go home and take care of my two kids. She's a divorcee, you know, and she had to take care of her two girls. And on the way home, the Lord just said my name. And she called me. Now, I'm very, very spiritual at that time. Normally, I won't take calls when I'm really spiritual. I was sitting around in my shorts, watching TV or something, I don't know. I'm just letting you know, it ain't, well, if I just get right, it'll be, it's God.
It's God.
It's God. Anyhow, she called. She said, Brother McLean, do you know me? And do you remember me? And I didn't. I'd seen her one time, I reckon. I don't know. I know her now. Name was Joanne Moran. And she is there, and she said, I need healing. I said, well, that's wonderful. What do you want God to do for you? That don't mean nothing. She said, I need a healing. She's on the telephone in the car. And I said, that's wonderful. What do you want God to do for you? She said, I need a healing. I said, that's wonderful. What do you want God to do for you? I need a miracle. I said, that's wonderful. What do you want God to do for you? I need a miracle. She's screaming. I'm like, yeah. That's wonderful. What do you want God to do for you? She said, I need a new heart. I said, so be it unto you. You confess it out your mouth. You've got it. She went back. She got her kids taken care of. Went to the hospital. Put her in intensive care. The next morning they come in. She had a brand new heart. How does that work? I don't know. Did some angel get in there and go clip, clip? I hope I don't mess up. Click, click, click. Yeah, you know? I mean, one angel's over there holding one tube and one over they're blowing that stuff around while the heart's getting put back in. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. You understand that? I don't know how it works, but it works. Amen? I had a guy come up one time, his chest was all hurting him. And he wanted healing. And I said, have you received Jesus? Do you want Jesus? He said, I'll receive him if he heals me. Well, that's like saying, sick him to a bulldog. That's like throwing out a steak. You know, I said, I'm serious. God goes, I got him now. You know what I'm saying? Woo, I got all excited. I said, okay. And I laid hands on him. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. I said, how you feel? He said, I want Jesus. He got born again. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, God won't do that. I mean, you know, he was being mad. If God heals me. Yeah, God will do anything. Don't box him in. Don't box him in. Amen. It's faith is what gets him to move. You understand that? That's all it is faith. Faith in him. He can move. He's wanting to move all the time, but you've got to believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently are just seeking. Praise God. Amen. 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 You know, Jesus. Looky, let's go over here right quick. We'll go a different way. All right. In Mark. Now these are familiar healings, but you ought to read these healings. Read different. I think it's Mark 5. Starting in the 21st verse, he says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. And he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little child, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now I want you to underline that, what the guy said. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, this is what, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Underline that. Underline that. You need to underline. That's what the man is staking his life on. He's staking his life on that. Well, let me share something with you. The Bible tells me that Jesus was the Word. Is that right? So you need to reverence this just like it was God. You understand that? If this Word says it, it's God saying it. You understand that? All right. That's where a lot of people miss it. They don't reverence it the same way. Now, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. I like it when people are at the end of their rope. I do. They'll believe. Amen. I like it. I like it. You know what our problem is here? We got too many doctors. And thank God for doctors, because there'd be a lot of dead Christians. If it wasn't, don't misunderstand me. But we don't put faith in God. We put faith in a doctor. You'll have somebody come up and, you know, the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Is that right? Let him or her call for the elders. And let them anoint him with oil, or her with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Is that right? But most Christians in this nation won't even think about that. They'll head straight to the doctor, and then when they come, they're crying, they're bawling, they're squalling, because all they know is what the doctor said. That's all they know. Let me tell you something. A doctor, I've never met one that lied to you, but I'm sure there's some out there. But they don't lie. They tell you what they know. You understand that? They tell you what they know. And if you go strictly by what they know, you're probably going to end up the same way that they tell you you're going to end up.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. You better grab a hold of God, what He has to say. You know, when they look at you and they say, there's no way, Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. Jesus is the way. I'll tell you what, and the way you get into Jesus is the words of your mouth. Let me tell you something. All your works does not lose faith. What loses faith is what's coming out of your mouth. You got to speak it. You got to speak it, and then works will come along. But if you're doing works, good works, and you're speaking trash, you're up a creek. Say what God says about you. Amen? Amen. Say what God says about you. There are so many people tithe, and they talk about how bad off they are. That tithe ain't done you nothing. What you need to be talking is, the windows of heaven are open unto me. How do you know? I'm a tither. That's all there is to it. I give, and it's given unto me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. I'm a cheerful giver. And God has made His grace, His ability to come on the scene, that gives me the ability to have more than enough that I can give into every good work. But they'll sit around and they'll talk about all their problems. All your problems. All your problems. All your problems. Amen? Oh, okay, let's go on. Says, yeah, about the woman. Now there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things in many positions. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. It's dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. You know what? Her faith was coming out her mouth.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
That's
Her faith was coming out her mouth. For she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she went and done it. But she was speaking it. She was speaking it. And he said, your faith, not me, your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. There was a lot of people touching Jesus, but she's the only one that was healed. And he said, daughter, your faith, not me, not me, not God, not no one else, your faith has made you whole. Let me tell you something. Your faith can pull what you need from God. Out of the 19 individual healings in the New Testament by Jesus, individual healings, now we're talking about that we've got a testimony, 12 of those were their faith. They could pull from Jesus what they needed. You understand that? They could pull. He said, I saw you, I see his faith. He saw their faith. You can see faith in people. I had a woman come up one time and you could see faith in her. And I laid hands on her and the pastor was sitting there on a bench. And when I laid hands on that woman like that, it knocked him clear to the other end. Now that faith from her pulled. Bam! It went right through it. Knocked him to the other end. You can pull that faith. Amen. 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 We see people come up, their knees are gone, and take off running. See people come up with, a woman came, well, now this is a healing process. A woman came up, well, what happened the night before? That asked if they could bring their mother. She was going to have her foot amputated in 2 or 3 days. She was a diabetic. Said, yeah, bring her. They brought her. We laid hands on her and her foot was all, God, it was. I told Cheryl, I said, get down there and lay hands on that foot. Then after it was over with, I had to be healed from a hurt eye here. No, I tell you what, that little old wife of mine, she got down there. I didn't say nothing to her. She'd do, you know, you touch them anywhere. And she got down there and she said, ooh. She grabbed a hold of that foot. They carried the woman back out. Next night, she come dancing in, though. She was doing the boogie coming down through there. Texas boogie, too. I'm telling you, that's hard. Amen. But anyhow, your faith. Your faith. You can pull out of God whatever you need. But you have to say it. You have to say it. You know, God, last week when I went up to, and I'm getting ready to quit, when I went up to Brother Nipple up the road, you know, the Bible says that you've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. Y'all know that. It's in Colossians 1:13. And the Lord had me to take everybody over here and move them over here. And he said, what's happened, they're in a new kingdom, and I have put all these blessings on them, and they're not protecting their blessings, and the devil is stealing it from them by the words of their mouth. Well, you know, it's flu season. I always get flu. That's corny. But that's what I'm talking about. You know, at 40, you always have to wear glasses. You know what I'm saying? God has put all these blessings on you, and you got to protect them. You got to go into the Word. I'm talking about the new covenant, starting with the epistles, and find out what you're a king and a priest. That's not just a, you're a king and a priest. That's not just a, that's who you actually are. You're a joint heir with Jesus. As God is, so are you in the world. Just like God, just like Jesus is right now, when you do something, Father looks over at Jesus and he sees Jesus, and that's what you look like. Amen. That's what God sees in his mind. But you're the one that you start talking this stuff, sickness and disease and boy, all this other thing. Let me tell you, you got to refuse to let the enemy in. Yeah. Amen. Resist the devil. I'm going to tell you something. If some old guy come up and tried to get in there to hurt one of your children, you'd beat him down to his knee. You'd do whatever it took. If you had to go get a gun, you'd do it. Well, the devil's trying to get to your family.
That's right.
And you need to stand up and say, uh-uh. You ain't taking my family. Men, you are the head of your home, and you have authority. Now, don't get this stuff about, you know, their dog. Now, I'm talking about with the devil. You're a priest in your home. Amen. Stand up. Ain't no devil going to take one of my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Ain't going to happen. Praise God. Amen. Just start saying it out your mouth. Get up in the morning and start saying it. There ain't no devil going to hurt one of my children or grandchildren. Praise God. I'll tell you something else we need to start saying. There ain't no devil going to take our nation. Yeah, but we got to say it. We got to say it. We got to say it. Amen. Ain't no devil going to take our pastor, our church. Let me tell you, God's not a respecter of persons, folks. I'm telling you. If something has happened, praise God. Start standing up on the word. You're not talking to God. You're talking to the devil. You're talking to the enemy. You're talking to sickness and disease. Stand up. Start talking to him. No, you ain't taking one of mine. You're not taking one of mine. You're not taking my health. Amen. Long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen. Long life, praise God. I'm going to live till my job's completed. And when my job's completed, God will tell me. And at that time, I'll make up my mind when to give up the ghost and go home. Anything short of that is the devil stealing my life. Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise God. You believe that? Well, I covered a whole lot of territory there on this. Amen. When I start hearing bellies growl, I know it's time. Oh, is that mine? Oh, I'm sorry. I was down in Texas one time. I said, what time is Dallas playing? They said it was about 11:30. I said, I better shut it down then. Them people down there, they went, yeah. Amen. Let me share something. God don't mind having fun. Amen. Amen. Oh, He is. He is. He's a good God. And He loves us. Cares about us. Let me ask you something. Is anyone here that needs healing in their body? Anyone here that needs healing? A miracle in their body? Just stand up. Anyone? Okay, come on down. I'm going to... Well, lay hands on you and you're going to be healed. But you expect it. You expect it. You expect it. You expect it.